here we go, boys.
Go.
Ooh, I love that sound. This is a good one. Digging into maps, Onyx versus
base maps.
Base
maps.
It's all about that base. About that base. No,
Onyx. I bought.
I don't have base maps.
I bought it because it was $30. Okay, so if you're gonna get Onyx maps, don't buy your state for $30. It's $30 a state for Onyx maps. If you buy...
Oh, you got to do the 100. You got to get...
You got to do the 100.
The whole state.
What are you fucking around for? Yeah, no.
That's three states and you have it.
You know what? I know something weird. I'm getting a fucking dirty deal on some Onyx maps right now because I technically... I have a glitch going on in the system and I emailed them about it and they said, yeah, that's really weird. You seem to have two accounts. That's not right. It's from way back in the day. Way, way, way back. When the Onyx first came out, I had it. I was a subscriber to Minnesota and Wisconsin. So I have one account that subscribes to Minnesota, one account that subscribes to Wisconsin. So that's $60, but I got the whole country. Yeah. Yeah, that makes no sense, right?
Deal.
Yeah, so I'm running like two accounts, neither of which has nationwide, but I got nationwide.
I think there's some savings codes out there too. Like I think Meat Eater might have an Onyx code.
Yeah, but
it might save you a little bit of ching.
So obviously I'm looking at base maps and it is 70% off of Onyx. You know, you get the whole country for $30. I'm like, well, why?
Is it base maps?
Yeah, it's $30 nationwide.
Hmm.
I mean that for $30, I'll spend that on lunch sometimes. You know, if I have a couple of beers with it. Yeah, I'm gonna get base maps and check it out. So I did. And I've been screwing around with both of them for way too many hours at night and during work. You know what I mean? I just get sucked in so deep.
Is it that one?
Yep.
Okay.
Base maps. I know some people use like HuntWise. And there's a couple other ones. Like, let's just cruise through the App Store here really quick, too. I can download something. Take a peek at it while we're talking about this
stuff.
Well,
I'm not going to download it because I don't have Wi-Fi.
They all come with like a 7-day...
It doesn't say what the trial price is.
For base maps?
Yeah.
It's probably free to get the trial, and then you give them your info,
sure.
And they're going to automatically sign you up for that
dirty dog
$30 annual fee for the nationwide coverage.
How do you... which one's more accurate or more updated?
Onyx Maps is more updated.
Okay.
They both have problems with how updated they really are. So the top ones that come up in the App Store is Hunt Stand, HuntWise, Topo Maps, iHunting. I never heard of that. Where to Hunt GPS, never heard of that one either. But so base maps and Onyx are going to be the two. And I paid $30 for it. I got it. It's definitely more updated in Onyx. And just to start out, let's just say, which one would you buy, Nick J? Like Onyx. I would buy Onyx. But that's not to say that if I had $130, I'm going to buy both because
right.
There's some shit in base maps that I really like. First of all, you got to start adding layers to these maps, right? When you are exploring around and screwing off at work, you need some layers that you're actually like looking for some specific information. The way you, the user interface of base maps, far better than Onyx Maps because Onyx Maps does that like state by state $30 fee bullshit. So for some reason, you go into Onyx Maps and there's a layer library and then there's a folder for my layers. So I have to take shit out of the layer library, add it to my layers, and then I can toggle them around back and forth. And it's clunky and it you can tell it lags. Whereas our base maps, I click that layer button. Since it's nationwide, they're not screwing around. They don't have no state-by-state parcel or ownership. They just have nationwide landowners. Bloop, turn it on for the entire country. Not only that, Onyx Maps has satellite, topo, hybrid. That's what you get for, I guess, the base maps of the when you're looking at Onyx. Now, base maps has their own 3D version of imagery. They have Google High Res. They have Mapbox. They have ESRI. And there's just several different providers of satellite imagery to go
that you can look at. So you can get a couple different images of the same property.
Yes.
Taken at different times.
And base maps is way better for that satellite imagery. Hmm. Like, you can zoom in and see license plates on some spots on, you know what I mean? Not that good.
Yeah, right.
But it's great. Much, much, much better than Onyx Maps. And you have a variety of some you can choose from. So if some has just better imagery in your area, you can go to that. And when I open up the layer folder in base maps, on the top I got layers, active layers, so I can just go through my active layers. I don't want something on no more. Bloop, 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 bloop. And then also favorites. So you can you can favorite a bunch of layers. Now, if you want to toggle them quickly back and forth without having to navigate through their folder structure, it's just right there. Boom, boom. So I got like nationwide private land ownership in my favorites, Minnesota walk-in area, Minnesota wildlife refuges. That layer right there also, Minnesota wildlife refuges. I was reading the regs one day for Minnesota. There's a refuge that opens goose hunting for 2 days a season.
What?
Yes, 2 days a season. It was like you can hunt geese there for, and it's just the 2 days of opening weekend. So I suppose you get to hunt till 4 p.m., I guess.
Sure.
There. So I'm like, what the fuck? I've never heard of this in my life. I started Googling it, man. Like, flash forward 2 hours. I'm on like page, I'm on page like 14 of Google, and I can't find the boundaries for this state game refuge. And then I discover this. Boom. Oh, they have a layer in here that says Minnesota refuges. I click it on. There is hundreds of refuges in Minnesota. Like, shit, I turned every other layer off. So now I'm only looking at layers that are refuges, the only highlighted land. I'm like, my God. I went over to that lake that they have that refuge on. Just the nice, clearly defined borders. I'm like, I spent fucking 2 hours.
Wow.
Like, how do they have this? And you would never guess, like, these random-ass areas where there's refuges just scattered about the countryside in Minnesota. I had no clue.
And so what you'd have to, like, Google each one of those refuges to see if they have any kind of special hunts, I suppose?
No, it's anything that has any special exceptions to it just being a wildlife refuge is going to be spelled out in the reg book.
In the reg book.
And there is, yeah, it's like some refuges you can waterfowl hunt at. Some refuges you can goose hunt at. Some refuges allow hunting from this time period to that period. Some refuges it's Monday, Thursday, Friday.
Just got to read the regs.
You just got to read the regs. There's a bunch of cool information in there. But not only that, these like the layers on base maps that you select for that are individualized for each state, they are bordered in a bright neon orange, like blaze orange border. So like you can just back out and look at the whole state and be like, there's a bunch. So like some states have really good walk-in access. Like if you're going to plan a trip, put on that layer for that walk-in access to whatever state you're thinking about checking out. Be like, oh, there's a little cluster of them over there. If I were to plan a trip, I might want to consider that area because I can hunt no matter what. I can pick one of these 20 fields in this little area, and it's just easy to see. But in general, Onyx Maps is so much better at just at-a-glance information. Their land is highlighted. So this has got that orange highlight. That's nice, but that's not for everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's like for that state-specific shit that you're selecting for a specific layer. I mean, you can just look at Onyx Maps and start zooming around, and there's all sorts of public land, and you can just zoom in. Oh, Independent School District 821. Minnesota State Land. Fed Land. And everything is so much more quickly identified on Onyx Maps. So like I like to just browse, you could say, on Onyx, just so I can get a feel for like an area. And then if I see something I think's looking pretty cool, I'm going to go straight to base maps and look at the satellite imagery of it, see what it really looks like, you know, because it's too blurry on Onyx.
Yeah, you can only zoom in so far.
Yeah, I'll be like, that place looks kind of cool. I'll base map it from there and then be like, all right, yeah. I'm looking at a couple different satellite imageries of it, and that's been very useful. A layer that Base Maps does not have, that Onyx does, is all the National Wildlife Refuges on Onyx have a nice neon green border. So there's tons of, like, there's 400 refuges in the United States. And you can hunt on a lot of them. But they all have fucking weird regulations. Like, you can hunt in this area or that area. Well, Onyx has taken the time and actually gone and, like, drawn out maps for every single National Wildlife Refuge, which would be really, really handy right now, considering that in the last 25 months, they've opened up an additional 4 million acres of federal land that you can hunt. Man, I hope my audience does not look as tired as you do right now.
I am so tired now.
Dude, you look like you just smoked two blunts through each nostril.
That would probably help. No, I had two beers earlier. Doing the day drinking when you quit day drinking crash, that's what I got going on right now. So
here's just something that you wouldn't think that actually is super helpful. County boundaries is on Base Maps. They've got a layer for every county in the country.
Oh, that would actually be helpful. Dude, I'm always struggling trying to find county. Like, dude, what county are we in? You're like, where's the freaking county line?
Fucking too.
You zoom in, you zoom out, you zoom in, like, what? And then you finally see this fainted dotted line, like, I think that's it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it.
Dude, I've had trouble, like, just like Illinois county map. You put that into Google and you start looking in the images section and you're like, okay, what the fuck? This shouldn't be this tough. Like, you'd think they'd just pull right up, but no, they've got that. No,
they don't.
They've got the variety of layers you never know will benefit you as a hunter unless you have all of them. Like, you can, there's some layers on Base Maps that have, like, nope, this is on Onyx, where it'll show you, like, how high the river is. They've got
oh, really?
Yeah, and just a bunch of random stuff that you could use to your advantage to find current conditions or whatever. And
they're all really low right now. That's what it's going to tell you. Water levels are down.
All these fires are going on right now, right? There is a layer in
Is it a smoke layer?
There's an active wildfire layer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Kind of cool, huh? Then there's water access, like, I know that's for fishing, but
that's on Onyx or Base Maps?
This is on Base Maps. I'm going to switch to Onyx because I've been kind of fucking around with Base Maps this whole time. Okay, so there's two new features. There is new features, though, on both of these systems. There's a 3D feature now for Onyx. That's cool. You get to kind of, especially if you're cruising way away from home, you can kind of get almost like that Google Earthy thing, which reminds me of one of the dopest features.
Oh, 3D beta. There's a button right on it.
Yeah, it updated for you.
Whoa,
eh?
Right there. 3D is here. 3D beta is currently available only on iOS devices. So
okay. Dude,
F off, you Samsung users.
If you use Base Maps and you use it on a computer, like a laptop or a desktop, you're using their browser version for computers, you can use Google Street View in tandem with it. You can drop the little Street View dude on spots you're looking at, which is so fucking handy, dude. Like, if you ever find an area and you're like, I wonder what that looks like. I don't know how many times I've been playing Where's Waldo on fucking Google Earth, like trying to match up my Onyx. I'm trying to talk to you, Dale.
I'm listening and I'm also playing.
This is like the most distracting you could get. It's like, let's play with Onyx for a whole podcast. Like,
unfortunately, there's not enough hills to have fun with this.
Dude, I don't know how many times I've been sitting there, like, I just want to see what that field really looks like. Like, is it hilly? Is it flat? I'm on Onyx Maps, and I'm trying to, like, match up where the hell am I on Google Earth, because Google Earth has got the street view. I don't even think, no, Maps does, but it's a little easier to use on Earth. And I'm like, okay, there's this lake that's kind of shaped like an eyebrow. It's north of the city, but Base Maps, you can just drop it right down. And but I would say just the ease of use of Onyx, the at-a-glance information just kind of trumps Base Maps shit, you know? Like, that's so handy. As clunky as it is.
Just zoomed in on a killer spot right off a river that's like, you could do some damage there, I think. Interesting.
Historic wildfires. I know, like, mushroom hunters will use that, or maybe people trying to go to shoot a hooved animal for some reason.
A hooved animal.
Yeah. They got a layer for Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation on. Oh, and another thing I noticed about Onyx too, with their recent update, the weather's pretty handy on it now. Like when you drop a little point of interest or whatever, and it just kind of comes up with the information for that area. There's quite a bit of just like nice, easy, at a glance info. Like here, I just dropped one next to my house. It's an overview section and a weather section, temp, precip, wind, and it's easy on the eyes. Looks nice. Mm. And then there's another feature that just updated into base maps called Hunt Wind. Is that what it's called?
I don't know.
It gives you this, like, you drop a point on the map and then pick out a time or whatever. It'll give you a forecast for that wind. And it looks like a giant bonfire, like the smoke that, like, imagine you had a giant bonfire and the smoke's just going off into the wilderness. Like, that's kind of cool.
Dude, this is so much better than going to my weather app.
What are you on, Onyx?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like right there.
Right there. Yeah, they've really improved that, I've noticed. I kind of try to find that.
Interesting. Well, that thing's going to be getting a workout here tonight.
Dude, I know. It's just ridiculously.
Well, and I got a scout again tonight, so.
Ridiculously
addicting. I don't know where I'm going to.
Anywhere I've been driving lately, I've been. I always punch it into like Google Maps so Siri tells me not to miss my turn again. Then after that, I've been just pulling up base maps or Onyx. Usually Onyx because that really good at-a-glance info.
Mm-hmm.
Just see what the hell is around me on my drive, and you just see stuff you just didn't know was there. And you're just like, well, that's some weird. Like, I didn't know all this stuff was on my drive to the cabin. It's pretty cool. How do I find that Hunt Wind again?
Hunt Wind. That must be on base maps.
It is.
Hunt Wind.
I'm looking at weather conditions.
There's a Hunt Wind app.
Oh, there it is.
It's on. There's a little Onyx.
Right there. Son of a bitch. On the 7 day, right underneath it, I see Hunt Wind trademark. Click it. Don't see shit. Okay. Tap to view. Loading wind data. All right. That's not very intuitive, I would say. Oh, here's hourly. Do I have to click onto this Hunt Wind stuff? Like, why aren't you showing me the fucking wind right now, bitch?
Biatch.
Yeah. Ideal wind. Okay. Is that the wind now? This is the ideal wind, probably for hunting hooved animals or something. Select the wind directions that are most likely to keep your scent from being detected. I don't know why I would do that. Show me the wind right now, please. So I did get it to go one time, but like I said, this is not very intuitive the way this works, but it was a cool feature. Right? No?
No.
You ever use offline maps? Because I never do.
No, I don't, but I should. Because there's plenty, like a lot of the areas that I hunt get absolute dog shit reception.
Right.
I really should download all of my areas that I...
Like, if you're just even going to go scout an area and you're at home with Wi-Fi, like, I'm going to go hit up that area around them lakes tonight.
Yeah, I know where I'm going to be. Mm-hmm. Like, tonight, I know where I'm going to be. It's like, I should download them now.
Really, really big. Dude, when we were looking at the last time we did that podcast from the truck, we were in that parking lot like, dude, you got to go find a hill.
Yeah, like, we had no service. It's like, well, why not just download the maps? And the app actually reminds me. It's like, you have no saved maps in your thing.
Mine does,
download
too.
Download like, now.
You're underutilizing.
Yeah, they're
this.
Like, hey, dumbass.
Like, I just wonder what it's...
Use this app the way it's intended. Download some maps,
you know what?
Tard.
I'm going to do it right now. We'll just get a little feel for it here. I'll just go up by my cabin and I'll see. Just download it. Yeah, why not? But I don't know. What experiences have you had? Like, have you ever, like, discovered something because of using these apps? Because I notice a lot of people are just using them to find landowner info.
Mm.
And that is...
Can't say that I really have.
Oh, dude, I think you're underutilizing it, man.
Oh, I guarantee you I am. I don't have time to get lost in these maps.
Dude, yes, you do.
Yes, I should. Not yes,
make,
I do.
Okay, how do I...
That's a big difference. Well, I mean, I just used Google Maps today to find that loaf I was talking to you about that I found today, because I saw all the geese going back, and I'm like, it looked like they were dumping into a standing bean field. I'm like...
I found it.
Where are they going? And all of a sudden, I just pulled up Google Earth. I'm like, oh, there's a pond back in there.
Check it out. You hit the plus button, and then it says place the wind cone.
On?
on base maps. Now look at this.
Oh, I don't have base maps.
Look at this right here.
Yeah, but I'm going to get
it. It's like that giant bonfire showing you which way the wind's going. That's kind of nice, ain't it?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is kind of cool because you always want to know, like.
Where was that? I'm going to get that app.
Okay,
tonight,
so that's on base maps. You hit that plus button.
Oh, okay.
And it says, like, so you're adding a. You're adding a shape, a line, a circle, a stand, a hunt wind, so you can so you can check that. You can track yourself. And I also think on base maps, if you're scouting as a team, you can all use base maps at the same time, and it'll
show where you're at.
Not only like where they're at, but I think it'll show like their tracks, like where they have been scouting.
No so it's way,
like,
really?
You like scout in the north side of this lake. I'll scout the south side of it, and we'll grid and coordinate our scouting efforts. So,
dude,
like,
that's incredible.
That's really good. And also, like, you ever gotten done scouting, and you're like, you know what, that one spot where I thought that could be a hunt, but I just kept driving because I thought I could find something better, and I can't. And then you're like, I was going north.
Yeah, yeah. No, because that's my biggest pet peeve when we're group scouting is all of a sudden you run into your scouting buddy. You're like, why are you over here? You were supposed to go over there. Like, I hate when you know you've wasted time scouting the same area.
Yeah, right here. Oh, shit. Shit. Right here. Share my location on location settings, enable, and then add friends. Send an email or text. I could invite you through a text.
That's pretty good.
And I know you can do that like iPhone to iPhone, and I've done that before scouting with people, but this is like, dude, you're going to be using this application anyways. And Onyx Maps does not have that. But I still would just like, if a guy had $130, put that $100 into Onyx first. I would.
Yeah, Onyx is great.
And it doesn't take much comparison. Just look at an area on base maps and be like, okay, I can see these places here, and then you pull up Onyx on that same location, you're like, Jesus, I didn't see any of this stuff. And not only that, like, base maps, you click on it, it'll be like, Wisconsin DNR land. I'm like, all right. Uh-huh. And then, like, you click on Onyx, and it's like, this specific state park, here's a link. A lot of times, you know. It's just more specific, easier to read, and, with the exception of like those state selected layers where it's outlined in bright orange. And like if you look at like here's Onyx Maps. Like I'm just looking at the entire state of Minnesota. You see anything? I don't see a goddamn thing. No. I don't have a fucking thing.
No, you gotta zoom in to see the boundaries.
But here's like those national wildlife refuges you can hunt right there. Okay, but now I'll switch over to the old base maps here and I'll do that like with the Minnesota layers that I got on. We'll just take an add a glance. You know what I hate about both of these motherfuckers though? You touch that screen.
Oh yeah.
And it bloop, it pulls up the info like no.
No.
I was just trying to zoom out. All right. Dude, here I'm looking at I've got Iowa, half of North and South Dakota, half of Wisconsin, Nebraska.
Yeah, and you can see them all.
You can see like just that.
Jeez, look how much is in Minnesota and nothing in Iowa.
I don't have Iowa layers on.
Oh, that'd be why. I was like, look, it just stops right there.
Yeah. And also if you go out west, I've noticed, like, see all this green and brown and purple and shit? That's all, like, fed land. Different types of fed land or Indian reservations. Because you get west of that Missouri River, and it's all, like, Bureau of Land Management, national government shit, fed land. And it's so easy to see that the areas compared to Onyx.
Hmm. So like, yeah, I'm going to have to get that app when I get home today.
Look at this state right here. Look at this little cluster of stuff. You can go hunt. Look at that. Right up around that river. This is all like, let me see what this is.
Well, don't give it away. Everybody go there.
I'm not saying what state this is.
It's in Nebraska.
It's in Nebraska. There is amazing access and hunting in Nebraska. I can't say that enough.
Well, there actually is, but...
That's one of the private lands that's open to public hunting. And here is a link for the map. This state actually has a fucking incredible interactive map for all the private lands. I can't find a way to get this like full screen. Like they give you a little snippet when you look at one area, I can zoom out and see the whole state. Like this app is this is a powerful map they got going on right here in Nebraska.
In Nebraska.
And they even have like the green outline ones is feel free to hunt. Like the brown outline ones are like need permission, written permission to hunt. Cool. Dude, just add a glance.
Wow.
You never know what's out there. Man, until
Nebraska's got it together.
Nebraska does have it. On the real, though, Nebraska has their shit together.
They for do, public actually,
access.
Yeah,
they
yeah,
really
yeah,
do. Yeah, yeah. They really do.
No, actually, Nebraska is. They got. There's plenty of hunting opportunities in Nebraska.
And stuff you don't even. There's layers on layers on layers of places to hunt there, you know? And lots of other states have that, too. Not Minnesota, though. We just have 1,500 WMAs. You can go
hunt.
Bring your untrained dog to walk around in the grass and yell at.
That's right. That's exactly right. Ugh. So gross. I hate it.
I had a calling student from Indiana last night.
Really?
And I asked him about the WMAs because they have 23 of them or 32 of them or something like that. Impossibly
you're like,
few.
You're like, that's it?
Well, they're all managed, though, and they're all, like, controlled hunting. And he's like, they've been stepping their game up in them areas. Like, they're planting, like, flooded corn you can hunt. And he's like, the hunting on them's pretty decent. You put in for that little lottery thing they got going on. They draw your number. You get a blind. You're going to have, a reasonable chance of having a good and successful hunt. Like, do we have one of those areas in Minnesota? You know what your best odds are of getting a reasonable expectation of a good hunt? Book a fucking Fergus Falls pit in November.
Yeah, right.
For $120 a person or whatever it is. They charge half what they should.
Yeah, they do.
They charge half what they should, dude. Rochester fucked this state up, man. I've always said, like, our guides are underpaid and overqualified in this state. Like, we've got some of the best goose hunters in the country, some of the best goose hunting in the country. I mean,
because Minnesotans are cheap, dude. They're the cheapest outdoors people in the world.
Well, those Rochester pits, man, they were leasing out fields and just putting holes in them and selling them. You can still get holes in Rochester for like $80 a guy. You know, like,
what?
Yeah, like, and dude, try to book a hunt anywhere.
Like, the thing just must be bought and paid for. They have no overhead at this point.
What do like Trevor and Joe charge for a hunt these days? Like $150, $175?
Yeah.
That's so cheap. Like, dude, you can't get a blind with a and Trevor and Joe are doing like daily scouting. Mm-hmm. Lots of gas money going into that. They've got lots of different tactics they're deploying, like migration hunting. They know what they're fucking doing. They're experts in their field. And it's $175 to hunt with these guys. Dude, for $250, take that down to like Mississippi and get yourself a duck guide and tell me.
Yeah, good luck.
Tell me about their expertise. Like,
yeah, right.
You're going to get just a hillbilly with a fucking horrible lease he's taking everybody to every day. I'm not trying to
generalize. Right, you're generalizing.
I'm generalizing. Yeah. But dude, it's just like, if you couldn't go to Canada this year, where is the best dollar you could spend on guided hunts in the United States? I guess in general, excluding Canada, the best money you could ever spend is to buy a Minnesota goose hunting guide.
Yeah.
Even our guys who are kind of doing it like part-time-ish, they're pretty goddamn good.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not many shysters out there doing it in this state, really. And you hear about a lot of like, I'm sure you heard about it when you're snow goose hunting, like the fuckery that happens down south.
Oh yeah, big time down there.
The fuckery that goes on. And a lot of it is like 40-year-old men acting like they're 17-year-old goose hunters because like mentally a lot of them are.
Like, I feel like you're talking directly to me.
No. Like I'm talking about like just regionally. Like we just have such a cream of the crop goose guides in Minnesota. Like you go to other states and their cream of the crop goose guides are like, you're like, are you sure you want to set up that way? And they're like, that's the way we do it here.
That's
like,
how we do it now here.
Yeah. Like, all right.
Okay. Sure.
Well, I'm trying to give the clients a good hunt.
Right. Yeah.
Not just prove you right.
Yeah. Right.
We won't. No. I am overgeneralizing.
The way my granddaddy did it.
And that's changed a lot in the last like 5 years as like the industry exploded for goose guiding down south. I mean, and like you get to areas like Lubbock, Texas, where it is like established for the last 30 years. Yeah, those guys are very excellent goose hunters. But where it kind of popped up, like, when Kansas and Oklahoma went to 6 and 8 bird limits, respectively, like guide services popped up and some guys figuring it out as they went, you know?
Yeah, well, they're always going to have some of that.
And you get a couple of pictures of 100 bird stacks, and next thing you know, you got full books next year, and there's a lot of growing pains.
Yeah, there is. Well, I mean, they kind of, in a way, they take care of themselves because, I mean, in the day of instant knowledge and whatever else, people are going to blast you. If it's shitty, they're going to blast you on the old internet. You're not going to get even a good review. So
even if it's good for some people.
But, well, that's true, too. Dude, some people just have unrealistic.
What's your if you were to say a percentage of clients that suck when you snow goose hunted, what percentage would you say clients that are like bad hunters, bad people, not fun to chill with? Out of 100 dudes you guided, this many of them sucked. A lot of them come in the same group, I've noticed.
Honestly, this past year, I didn't really have any.
I'd say like 1%, dude.
Yeah, it's pretty low.
It's super low.
The year before, definitely. We had like the amazing racist in our... and I spread. Dude, no, literally, like, out of the blue, with no, like, nobody was talking about current events, nobody was talking about anything, we're just enjoying the day, waiting for some white devils to show up, and this dude's like, I hate black people, except he didn't say black people.
Yeah, God.
He said that other word.
No, thanks for
making it. And you're like,
hey, we got a father and a daughter here from Missouri, she's 14, maybe you should shut the fuck up.
It was like a record scratcher, but it was just like, did you just say what I think you just said? Like, what? And then he just proceeded to tell all these racist jokes. And we're just like, oh, and nobody was like engaging him. Like, this was a monologue. We're like, everybody was uncomfortable. And I was getting real close to the point, and I was kind of looking at everybody else. You know, we'd go out and move decoys and kind of talk on our breath. And like, man, what the hell is that guy's deal? Blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, finally it kind of realized that while everybody's like, this guy's an asshole and he's on his own, we're like, it's fine, you don't, no need to make a big scene and ruin this hunt kind of a thing. It's like, all right, well, if it gets too out of hand, I'll probably have to say something. But and if somebody would have been offended by, like, literally offended by or something, I would have had to say something, but thankfully I didn't have to. But that was definitely an extreme case. Like, I haven't had most everybody really. Dude, so everybody except for that dude has been pretty cool.
One weekend Graham contracted me to do to help out with a group out in Western Minnesota with maxed out guides, and the group that I was with was some duck guides from Louisiana. So I mean, this is like a waiter tipping another waiter, you know, like,
yeah,
they
yeah,
are
yeah.
very gracious, they are a blast to hunt with, yeah. They are coon asses from the swamps. They're awesome dudes. And Graham and John Phillips P, they were guiding a group of guys. It was like 9 of them from Texas. And they were a fucking nightmare. They shot a 9-man limit, like, out of a flooded bean field that's 63 fucking ducks. Is that right, math-wise? 9 times 6? 54.
No. 54. Yeah, it's
54. Four. Yeah. So they shot 54 ducks, and they couldn't just... everything was wrong. The setup was wrong. The blinds were wrong.
And they smashed.
The lodge sucked. I'm like...
Wow.
Dude, and this was like stale hunting going on too, like around the state. I'm like, no group in the state did as good as you guys did today. Those guys just busted their ass to get you in there on a dailies. I mean, like, and like literally P and Graham were just, they looked like exhausted. Like their faces were just sagging off their skulls with like how down they were about having these amazing hunts with these assholes. And I'd never seen that before, really.
Yeah.
I mean, they're kind of like razzing me, even like, I'm not even their guy. They don't really know me from Adam, you know? And I'm like, oh man. And meanwhile, like, who was it? Me? Maybe this is Zahonix, I think, might have been guiding with me. We have these dudes that are just a dream group of clients that are. Well, they gave us a fat tip at the end.
Yeah, now that I think about it, I had a couple, I wouldn't say they're bad, but they were like, they were expecting like the universe.
That happens. Yeah,
I get that a lot with snow goose hunting, too. And so usually when I first meet my clients for the day, you know, you start talking about, like, so why do you want to do this your first time snow goose hunting? You ever done it? Like, no, but it's our first time. I was like, were you watching YouTube videos?
Yeah.
They're YouTube like, clients, yeah. I'm like, all right, so I got to give you a little bit of how this is going to go.
Yeah. We've been hunting this field for 18 days straight.
It's possible to have one of those hunts that you watched.
Yeah.
But it's not like
we're running a 9-bird average.
Exactly.
Yeah. You sit back and enjoy the no mud and waterfowl experience you're about to have.
Yeah, you're about to see the greatest show on earth with feathers.
And if we're lucky enough, you'll get 20 birds today. That would be fantastic.
That would be
once
really
in a while
fantastic.
Though, those migrator spreads get.
Sometimes they do it.
One time I showed up, I was hunting on March 29 in Nebraska on a snow goose hunt. Does that make sense to you? Think about that for a sec.
No.
It was March 29th. It was such a late spring that year. It was my birthday. That's how I remember it. And we showed up, and we drove through the night, and we didn't get there till like 9 o'clock in the morning. There was a guide out there. I had won a photo contest or something, got a free day, and booked another day on top of it. And we get out there, and it's like 9, 10 o'clock in the morning. It's a guide, a dude, and his daughter in the spread. You know, there's like 7, 8 layup lines out there, and they have like 22 geese. I was like, damn. And we sat down, and like a six-pack came over us, like migrating, and mm-hmm. they just did it. Me and my dad came up, just rolled, like we rolled the whole flock out with the guide. And I was like, has it been like this all morning? He's like, the guide was like, dude, I shot like 20 of those geese. And if you guys would have fucking been here,
yeah,
like the stack we would have had. And you're like, oh right. My God. Yeah. Like it happened this morning while yeah. I was driving here, just sipping my Quick Trip coffee.
Yeah, those late spring migration days, though, can be really good. Like they have a high percentage of being good because the pressure's down. They're the stragglers. They're mm-hmm. like the most gregarious of the birds that want to be with other birds.
You just
like they almost like they realize like shit, we're late.
Yeah.
Like we got to get going. You know, it's like, and then all of a sudden they see other birds on the ground and they're like, oh, that's our spot. We got to get down there.
Yeah. Like I know there was a year that in Yankton where all the guide services, everybody was doing single digit averages every day for a long stretch. It was a drag. And finally, like when the lates, like as the weeks dragged on, they got into those like just straggler birds that were coming through. And then everybody was doing like 60 bird averages for a good stretch there too, like almost a week. It was like spreads were getting between 30 and 90 birds. Like every spread, it was like wow. crazy. And I was talking to a lot of the guides out there and they're saying like, we see three flocks a day. It's boring as fuck. We normally don't see those flocks until like an hour before sunset, and we decoy every flock to the boot bags, and we chip away what we possibly can. If we got yeah. if we got good shooters, we're gonna get 70.
Right.
If we got poor shooters, we're gonna get 20. And yeah. Like, well, that doesn't suck either, but it is a long.
It's a hard sell for the clients.
The days also are longer. Like mm-hmm. that time of the year, the sun comes up earlier and goes down yep. later. It's a long. Long
yeah, and
day.
What I've noticed with chasing those white birds up is that most outfitters, they like to chase peak numbers because clients get to do a lot of bird watching.
And
they don't do as much bird killing, but they do a lot of bird watching. And, you know, even if you look at the Facebook pages and the, you know, waterfowl reports, people are chasing the mass.
Dude, if I were to start a snow goose guide service right now, I would not offer hunts. Straight up.
It'd be really hard.
Photography. Like just do photography guiding.
Yeah.
Like get some leases where you can put some photo, just build some duck blinds, do some photo booth stuff, like some flooded corn. The ducks that come through there.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody and their cousin has a DSLR camera now. They want to get right? cool pictures of cool birds.
Yeah.
What better place than the Dakotas? The
spring is the way to do it.
Like how many birds you guys killed today?
Oh, my God.
None.
Yeah.
Well, how was it? Great.
Amazing.
I got 1,400 photos.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Well, our
maxed out 3 SD cards.
Yeah, you could probably charge even more than you could charge for snow goose hunting.
Probably could.
I'm giving people my ideas
here. That'd be a perfect one for you. 37 minutes. That would be a good one for you, though, because you got enough bird nerd knowledge that you could feed them while they're doing that too.
That bird nerd knowledge.
Those blue-winged teal, you know, they nest in the archipelago of Alaska. You know, like you could give them all that kind of shit. They'd eat it up.
That certainly does assist me taking some clients out hunting. I can just talk about waterfowl all day long.
I do it too. I mean, I do the whole thing. Like they really dig it too, especially like first-time snow goose hunters. When you're fortunate enough to get a couple in hand, like you start telling them the difference between like a Ross goose and a lesser and like a greater, and then mm-hmm. you can get one of each in your hand, like here, so see how much smaller this is, and then you go and you talk about the caruncles on the Ross goose.
Yeah, yeah.
And now I know a little bit more about
those.
What
did that article have to say that you wrote me about? Like the males have, it's because they can't hurt each other when they are displaying aggression. They're too pussy to fight each
to
other.
To actually fight.
It's too risky for mm-hmm. a goose that winters near Mexico and breeds in the Arctic Circle. That goose has to keep its feathers nice,
right?
And it can't fight, so they kind of have to
grow. They grow fake antlers.
They have to like intimidate each other.
Right. It's head bobbing
through posturing, yep. And like whenever they're like, "Motherfucker, get away from my shit!"
Yeah, bro.
They can't
check out this wart.
They just posture like, all right, like not in the face, not in the face, except the face is my whole body, and I need every one of these beautiful feathers to get me home. Yeah.
Bro, look at my neck tattoo. Like I'm a badass.
Yeah.
That's what that means.
It does make sense.
Yeah, it does. It's like, it's one of those things like no one thought of it, and then as soon as somebody kind of discovered it, it's like, it's so obvious. Why didn't somebody discover this years ago?
Just like my goose call lesson.
Why do they just randomly have warts? There's got to be a reason. Yeah, there's actually a pretty obvious reason. Then we should have figured this out 50 years
ago. And males have more warts than females. And it's mostly hereditary, right? Genetics?
I think so. I'd have to go back and read the study again. It's in the process. So we shouldn't even call this like fact because it's kind of a hypothesis.
It probably was just a theory.
A theory that they're testing out. But
it makes sense
to
me.
The preliminary information sounds like it backs it up. Because what they found is that the ones with more warts did less head bobbing.
For sure.
So they didn't have to. The other ones could just look at them and back off. But the other ones that didn't have the warts, they had to do a little bit more of the fake flinching, you know, at the other guy. Like, bro.
Yeah. Bro. Dude. You know what I just remembered? I just got one of those USB-C to HDMI cords. Yeah. Let's pull up base maps on the big old screen here.
Oh, you know, fancy. Let's end this. All right, let's wrap this one up.
All right, cool.
Bye. This has been the Full Scale Outdoors Podcast Waterfall Wednesday with Nick J. Thanks, everybody, for joining. Hey, if you got some waterfall lovers out there that you know and they're not aware of the Waterfall Wednesday or Full Scale Outdoors Podcast, let them know. Share it with your buddies. Keep it going around. Don't forget, if you have a beard, if you're thinking about growing a beard, take care of that some bitch. Go to thebeardstruggle.com, put in code FULLSCALE15 at checkout. Save yourself 15%. Thank you again for listening. Whatever your passion, especially if it's waterfowl, pursue it. Full Scale.